Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I lost an ornament. Sorry, Miss Pam. Miss Pam set me up. Isn't that so pretty? Yes. I love it.
All right.
Is everybody doing okay this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a little weak, but that's okay. We're just getting in this Christmas groove thing, and I can't believe it. Isn't it crazy just thinking about, like, oh, Christmas? It's like I just woke up and it was Thanksgiving and starting back school in the fall, but we are in full swing. And if you don't know this about me, I'm a Christmas guy. I love Christmas. And so my house, I'm always just kind of like sitting here waiting, like, can I decorate now? And my wife just kind of holds me back a little bit. And now society holds me back a little bit because they're like, let Thanksgiving happen first. And so, but December 1st, we are in full Christmas swing, and we are starting a brand new series today entitled Face to Face. And we're experimenting. We're going to look at a couple different verses today. But if you want to look in your Bibles, we're also going to have the verses on the screens as well. We got a base verse of Isaiah 9:6 we're going to look at through the entire series. But then today, specifically, we're going to be in Romans chapter 11. And also, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. So these are our two big base verses today. We'll have a couple supporting verses, but if you, I know some people like to have their tabs open and ready to go. So those are our two good base verses before we jump in. But I want to pray for us and just ask God to move. My name is Daniel Casney, lead pastor here, and we are honored that you would be here on our second annual Friendsgiving. Are we excited to eat some food today? Yes. Ivan was like, yo. I said, oh, man. I love Friendsgiving. It's honestly one of my favorite Sundays just because we sit around the table and have conversation and truly have community. And so we welcome you and invite you to hang out. If you didn't bring food, that's okay. We got enough, and just stop and eat a plate with us, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit more. Our heart's desire is to create community and just to be knitted together in unity. And so that happens, we believe, when we get around in circles and around the table and have intentional conversations. So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for each and every person that's here today. God, I pray that you would open our hearts, receive your word, receive your truth. I pray that I will decrease, God, so that you may increase. I pray that your word would just be illuminated in this place, and that we will experience the treasures that you have for us wrapped up in your son, Jesus. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. As we talk about this series, Face to Face, I started to think a little bit of going, man, I think now in 2019, that phrase, that wording, that concept, of idea, whatever you want to call it, face to face, is becoming a little bit more rare, wouldn't you say, almost? Because we live in a digital word era, where we'll shoot a text or a message, or there's so many different apps you can do to send a message, right? Or an email, which I'm not saying is bad. I mean, I send hundreds of texts each week, and it's almost, you can be very efficient with it, but it's almost created this pseudo different culture, right? Where face to face is a little bit few and far between. But we know, and if we even look at the research, that if we can get face to face, something happens, our brain and all these different things happen, that when we see another human being's face, that all kinds of things happen in our heart and in our mind, and it's almost like we were created to be in community. And it was almost like we were created to have that face to face interaction, as we're talking about and as we're looking into. And in fact, one of my favorite, I don't know if you've seen this, it's kind of floating around Facebook a little bit, that there's this guy who does a stand-up comedy thing, and to be honest with you, I didn't re-look it up, so I don't know if it's super clean. I'm not endorsing it, but what he was talking about, it blew my mind of how funny it was, because he talked about 20 years ago, somebody would randomly stop by your house, and how your parents would actually even have like a side cake or dessert ready just in case somebody stopped by, right? Like unannounced. Like you got to have that ready, like just in case, right? Like you couldn't touch that. And then now, fast forward 20 years later, the doorbell rings and he goes, everybody down. Everybody get down. Somebody's at the, did you tell somebody? Did you invite somebody? Did somebody come? They didn't call first? They didn't text first? What? You know, like it's a different era, right? Different culture now because of technology and how connected we are. But I thought that was hilarious to know that just within like 20 years, how that's even changed a little bit. But what I love about the Christmas season is that we get to experience and almost celebrate and refocus again how love came to us. How Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who we know the part of the Trinity, who is God, came face to face with humanity and with humankind. And we get to celebrate that fact. And really to help us understand the true meaning of Christmas, I began to study and look and research and begin to just pray about, God, what do you want us to talk about? And I love going back to the Old Testament. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, especially for the prophecies that Jesus is coming, it blows my mind that many years ago, we're about to read a story, just one quick verse that's going to set us up for the whole series. But this man named Isaiah, he was a prophet. And Isaiah lived 700 years before Jesus came. Before Jesus ever stepped foot on this planet, Isaiah prophesied that he would come, that he would be here. 700 years. And in fact, we know that over 300 prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus came on this earth and lived his life. Jesus fulfilled over 300. The probability of that happening is, I don't have those exact numbers, but it is mind-blowing to realize how Jesus came and proved so many prophecies true. And Christmas is one of those huge times when we can look at that and look back and go, okay, wow, this truly is the real deal. Jesus truly is the Son of God. So we're going to look here at a prophet named Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is him. Actually, this is a season where the Israelites, the God's people, are in a bit of turmoil. And there's this king, Ahaz, during this time, and he has turned his back on God. He has said, hey, we're going to worship all other gods. And God is actually speaking through Isaiah and saying, hey, you are turning away from me. It's not going to be good for you. It's going to actually lead towards destruction. It's going to lead towards the whole group of people, all of the Israelites, leading to their destruction if you do not get back on the path. And so Isaiah is prophesying. And then in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of, hey, you've turned your back on God, you are moving away from him, Isaiah prophesied a huge promise here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Very good. Verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah says, hey, in your darkness, even though you've turned your back, God is going to send a child, the Son of God, and all authority will rest on his shoulders. And in fact, just to let you know who it is who is coming, his character will be Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting God, our Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And I look at those four pieces of character of who God is, and I think about our world today, and could we agree that we need a Wonderful Counselor in 2019? We need a Mighty God in 2019. We need an Everlasting Father, and hallelujah, we need a Prince of Peace, right? And I need a Prince of Peace to look at and to understand and really just to grasp who Jesus is. And he gives us these pieces. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at these four pieces of character of who God is and who Jesus is as he came to us and how that connects to the Christmas story of Jesus coming, as we're going to see each week as this unfolds. And so as we think about Wonderful Counselor. If we look at that word here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and look at just the word counselor that was used, like a counsel, people around you who would give you wisdom and knowledge. If we even think about in today's time, the president, they have their cabinet, right, that come around him and help him make decisions. He is saying that Jesus is here to walk with us, to be our wonderful counselor, not just our counselor, right, but our wonderful counselor, and to help us and walk with us in our daily life. Because for me, I know a lot of times I need help. I need wisdom. I need direction. I mean, as a father, as a husband, as an employee, as a person who is a leader, I need wisdom. I need direction. I need counsel. Not even external. But I need counsel for my own emotions, right? My own mind, my own direction. God, how should I think? How should I live? How should I interact with other people? And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the wonderful counselor. And I know I've said this kind of phrase a lot. It blows my mind because it really does. 700 years before Jesus comes, it was predicted that this is who Jesus was going to be in relationship to us, in relationship to his creation. And when Israel was turning their back on God, he still said, you know what? I'm sending my son, and he is going to walk among you, and he is going to help redirect you from away from me to walking with me. He will counsel and advise along the way. And I want to present this question at the front end of the message, and then we'll come back to it towards the end of the message. And I actually want to give this message this title, which is a question. Will you let God counsel you? Will you let God counsel you? Will you let God counsel you? And we're going to come back to that. But if you're looking for a title, if you're taking notes, that's something that we're really looking at in God's perspective here and saying, in my life, will I let God counsel me? And to really help us understand the true counsel of who God is, because sometimes I can be a little prideful. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can look at a situation, look at my life, and go, you know what, God? I think I got this one. I know what my next steps may be. God, I don't know if you understand what's going through my mind right now, what I'm struggling with, what my life is like right now. And to be honest with you, God, it's pretty dark. It's kind of hurts, and it's extremely heavy to live with. And God is going, I want to remind you who I am. And to help us do this, in Romans chapter 11, verse 34, this is a beautiful piece of scripture as it's describing who God is. It says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. He is showing us. That's powerful. He's saying that, hey, for everything was created through him, that he is our creator. Jesus was there in the beginning, and as he breathed out, stars came into existence, the mountains came, the ocean was formed, that he is. From him, everything was created. And that when you and I know that, I'm talking and celebrating that God, that it is in his nature that he is a creator. I heard this even just this week, that we have an enemy, right? The devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, but he can't create. He's not the creator. He can't create things in your life. He can take old things. He can resurface things. He can throw those fiery arrows. But Jesus is the only creator. And through him, hallelujah, all things were made. Yeah. And you and I get counsel from an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful creating God. And so when you and I look at a situation inside of our life, and you say, God, there's nothing there. There's no chance of something happening. God, it is so dark. There is no light. There's no opportunity for this to happen. And God can step back and go, whoo, that's perfect. Because I'm a creator. I can make something out of nothing. I've already done it. You're here. The earth is here. The mountains are here. The sun is here. All of that is here. And I breathe that out. And you can always rest in the fact of knowing that my counselor, my heavenly counselor, is all-knowing and sees all. And he says that I am the creator, that from him, and then he says through him, right? Through him, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't you just love how Scripture just interlocks together,
yeah,
and how Scripture interprets Scripture? In John 14:6, Jesus declares this about himself. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And Romans 11 here says that through him, all things go through him that we receive life. And then he says, to him, to God be the glory. Then in full circle, if he is our creator and he gives us life and through him we receive that life, then you and I, our natural response is to praise him, right? Is to give him back the glory. Is to say, God, you are our creator. You are holy. You are righteous. And I will seek your counsel, God. I want to be advised by you. I want to be stretched by you. I want to be led ultimately by you, God. Because you know all and you see all. You guys may know this a little bit about my story, but back in the day, I used to be a fourth grade teacher. And then I went into ministry, and about 10 years later, here we are. But I was a fourth grade teacher, right? And you know the things about teachers is you can kind of see things that are going on in the room. And when I first got into teaching, smart boards came into effect. And so, of course, I was using smart boards like crazy. And I used to teach social studies. We came up with like a little rap for the remember the thing. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked now. But we would go, right? And the kids would like, you could hear them in the background. And you knew who kids were doing what, right? Like, and you knew that one person was going to do something or see something. But I could even turn away and be writing on the board. And I would hear, and I wouldn't say anything, but I'd call the kid's name, right? Like I would say, "Hey, Johnny." That wasn't his name. "Johnny, hey, I know you're doing that. You need to stop." And they would always go like, "How did you know? Like, how did you? You weren't even looking at me." And sometimes I could just see it in the mirror. Of course, I would play it out. It's like, I can see everything. I know it all. I know what's going on, right? I could play into it. But for you and I, in our relationship with God, he truly knows all. He truly sees all. And I don't know about you, but he can look into our situation, not just from above, right? And like, I can see everything going around it. But he says, "Hey, I created in everything that is around that situation, everything that is around you. I didn't create the hardship and the struggle that you're in, maybe, right? Like, I didn't create that hardship or that sin, that struggle that is happening, but yet I created you. And I know how you're thinking. I know how you're wired. And through that, I can show you the way to get through it. And then on the back end, I will show you how to praise because you are free. I will show you how to praise because you know the way and you're walking with me and you've received counsel from me in this moment." But we serve a God who knows all and sees all. And as I began to study and think about this Christmas story and this Christmas season and our wonderful counselor, I began to think about Matthew chapter 2. And if you remember the Christmas story, you may be familiar with it, you may be not, but there were these wise men, right, who were all of a sudden, they were kind of thrown in a disarray. Because now these wise men were supposed to go find who? Jesus, right? And they said, "Hey, for unto us what the Old Testament, the Scriptures were prophesied about, he is here now, and I want you to go find him." And there was this terrible king, Herod, that was in this moment, or was in his kingship, and he didn't want another king. Herod, this another king was coming, and he didn't want another king to take over his throne. And see, he pulled the wise men together and said, "Hey, I want you to go find him and come report back to me where he is." And they were following this star. I love that, because even God in that moment, what we're showing these, look at Scripture. He got wise men, right, who are wise. I know you're like, "Wow, that's awesome, Nathan." These wise men who were so wise that they knew that, hey, this star was from God, and God is trying to lead me. And he is saying, "Hey, I want to advise you on where you should go." So these wise men get together. It's always important for you and I to have other wise people around us, right? To get around. These guys were together, and they were talking and saying, "Hey, this is the right way to go. And in fact, we're not going to go back to Herod because we know what his plans are. We're going to follow God's ways, not his ways, man's ways. We're going to follow God's ways." And he says, "Hey, we're going to lead this." And the star led them. And so we're going to read this because I don't want you to think I'm making it up. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. You guys still with me? Amen. It says, after they had heard the king, after he told them that, said, hey, come report it to me, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. God led them right there to that moment. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus, a God, in this moment, brought a star forth and said, hey, I'm going to lead you to where the treasure is. I'm going to counsel you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to advise you to where the true treasure is. And it led them straight to Jesus, right? Right there. The wise man came down and realized this. And so some things I think about, like, I just wonder, like, did Jesus make the star go as a baby? Or did God? Or the Holy, you know, like, or the Holy Spirit? Like, I'm just, anyway. But as I'm random thoughts, as I'm studying scripture. But as we're following God, and they get to this baby, and lying in a manger, I'm sure crying, or I don't know if Jesus cried as a baby or what, right? Like, he's just lying in the manger, and they get to him, and the first thing they do is they bow down and worship a baby, because the star led them there. Everything pointed to Jesus. And for you and I to realize that the counsel of God will always lead us to Jesus. That is our true treasure. And when you and I, when he says, hey, I want to sanctify you, I want to help you to be more like Christ, I want to help you to follow his example, to follow his lead. And you and I can always step back and look at Jesus' life and read the Gospels, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and really see Jesus and how he lived this earth and the example that he gave you and I. And we can always look to Jesus for the counsel of how we should live our lives, because God's counsel will always lead us to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
God's ways will always lead us the right way. And if you're taking notes, God's counsel always leads me down the right path. God's counsel will always lead me down the right path. And I hope that we never forget, and today we're just setting this series up. Now, I believe it's going to be a powerful series. But I'm going to read this one last verse, and then we're going to close here in just a few moments. But in Colossians chapter 2, it's such an incredible eye-opening verse for you and I to realize that when we're walking in the counsel of God, he's trying to get us closer to Jesus. And here's the reason. Here, as the author writes, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Here it is. In whom are hidden all the treasures,
amen,
of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasure of wisdom, and everything that we are looking for in wisdom and knowledge was wrapped up in a manger and left heaven and came to earth and came to you and I. The treasure is Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you and I can just get to Jesus and we thirst and hunger for a relationship with him, he will show us and unravel the wisdom and the knowledge and the mystery of himself,
yes,
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And how powerful and how amazing that God, Jesus, loves you so much that he wanted you to have all of that wrapped up in his,
yes,
son, Jesus. And that is why the Christmas story is so amazing for you and I, because love came to us. And you and I are looking for counsel, looking for wisdom, looking for knowledge. Look, God, I need to know what my direction is. And I don't have a 40-step program. I have Jesus. And that's why our mission statement is, if we can connect you to Jesus, oh, then he takes over, because he is the one who saves. He is the one who changes lives. And the Holy Spirit begins to work and move inside of our life and our heart. And God begins to unravel the wisdom and the knowledge that we have in Christ. And so my question that I want to revisit to you today is, will you let God counsel you? Will you let him advise you? Will you let him direct you? And I believe that the wise men give us a couple of things that we can take from. If you want some handlebars, you want something to take with us here, the wise men do some pretty incredible eye-opening things here. They obviously had other wise men that they surrounded themselves with, right? They had other voices who were helping them get to who? Jesus. Even Herod came in, a powerful voice in their life, and said, hey, you report back to me. But they knew his motives. And they united together and said, you know what? No, we're going to get to Jesus. And you and I, we need wise people around us. Not just, hey, the worldly wisdom, right? But people who are going to help us get to the treasure of who Jesus is. Wise people, that's why we believe so much in church and community. You see, they knew that the star would come because it was prophesied about. They knew their scripture and they believed it. They understood that the scripture, just like the star, pointed to Jesus. And if we're looking for counsel, we're looking for advice, we're looking for wisdom, this Bible is a direct revelation of who God is. And we can get and unravel that treasure. And Jesus is saying in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he's saying, I want to unravel it. I want a relationship with you. And then the wise men, lastly, they, as soon as they got to Jesus, they bowed down. And they realized who he was, right? And they bowed down and they worshiped him. Oh, just to be in that sweet moment to realize. That's why sometimes you see some of our people, they're raising their hands, they're clapping. Like, I'm up here, I'm kind of like rocking a little bit, you know, like when my dogs went, hey, hey. But, like, just in that moment, though, of just that sheer, like, oh, I'm connecting with the treasure of heaven right now. All of wisdom, all of knowledge. I am singing to him right now. I am praising him. I am praying to him. And he has a relationship with me. He has invited me into an intimate, deep, ongoing, never-ending relationship with the King of Kings, my wonderful counselor. But you and I have to be willing to let God counsel us. Because he loves you so much, just like Israel. We could even have our backs turned away from God. And he's saying, hey, I still sit, my son. And just like the prodigal son, we would realize where we were and turn from our ways and move towards Jesus. That's all. God is so good. That all he says is, move towards me. I am the treasure. I'll take care of the rest. Move towards me. Pursue me. Every day you wake up, fix our gaze on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, right? He's saying, you fix your gaze. You walk towards me. You open up scripture every day like this is a treasure hunt, right? Like, ooh, I get to open up all wisdom, all knowledge. I get to be counseled by the King of Kings this morning. I'm ready to wake up. I'm ready to read his word, right? I'm ready to consume it because he is the treasure, and he's trying to unravel that for you and for I. But will we let him counsel us? And the first step is just what we talked about earlier, is realizing where we are and saying, God, right now I'm my own counsel. And can we just have a moment of heart to heart, of brotherly love to brotherly sisterly love? The one I'm counseled by knows all and sees all. I can't even see through that door. I can't see into tomorrow, but Jesus can. I can't see what's going to happen 2 years from now. I can do all these different things to be healed from the things that happened in my past, but Jesus is powerful enough, and when he died on the cross, he paid for our sins in the past, present, and future. That's who I want to be counseled by. That's who I want to be led by. That's who I give. That's why we say we give our life to Jesus, so that he can guide, he can direct, and he can help me to be more like him. He can change me in to his image. And so I want that for you, and I want that for me. But what is that first step for you? Maybe you don't have a relationship with Christ. Maybe you said, hey, I've actually turned my back on God, but today God is working on my life and working on my heart, and I'm ready to turn back to Him. Or maybe you've been following Christ, following God for a while, but there's just something about this season that you feel like you've gone warm or gone cold, or I just feel disconnected from God. And my prayer is that you would stop and say, you know what, now I'm just like the wise men. I'm going to find my way back to Jesus. I'm going to pursue the treasure inside of my life, all of wisdom, all of knowledge here in that moment. And so let's pray together. If you've never prayed to receive Christ before, I'm going to pray this prayer. And you're saying, hey, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I believe that love came down. I believe that I am separated by sin from God and from Jesus. And only through Jesus can I be reconciled back to Him. He paid for your sin on the cross, and 3 days later He showed His power over death and life when He came back to life 3 days later. And if you believe that, you can move into a relationship with Him. And just pray a prayer, something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that I have sin in my life and I'm separated from You. Jesus, save me and change me forever. And I pray this second prayer. Maybe you've been following God for a little while, but you're ready for God to just to move, and you need to take some steps on your side to move closer to Jesus, to pursue Him, because His love has already come down wrapped up in Jesus. I just want to pray for those in the room during this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that You would move and direct. God, all authority has been given to Your Son Jesus, and He came down to earth. And during this Christmas season, we celebrate that, God. And I pray that our hearts would be open to Your counsel, open to Your truth, God. That You would advise us, that You would direct us, God. I pray that for those in the room that say, hey, I've gotten warm, I feel a little more disconnected from God. God, I pray that You would put the exact steps, whether that be diving into Scripture or finding a group to plug into, other wise people around them to help them walk through this journey, God. I pray that You would just illuminate right now in their heart and mind the direction that You would want for them to take, God. I pray that You would breathe just fire into their heart, passion and desire, God. I pray that they would truly walk out of this room today believing that You are the treasure, and that I'm so hungry to unravel the wisdom and knowledge that You have for my life, God. I pray that we would take the next few moments and worship You, Jesus. Not because of who we are, but because of who You are.
Amen.
And because of Your love for us. We love You and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand and worship together.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.